You're listening to the First Half Parenting Podcast, hosted by Paul and Sherry Peterson.
Hey guys, I'm Paul.
I'm Sherry.
And we are parents to six kiddos. And first of all, I want to give a shout out to our friend Dan Potter for that amazing intro that you guys just heard. I was like tease Dan and tell him like, I'm pretty sure that God sounds like Dan Potter. So anyways, a big hat tip to my buddy Dan. Thank you for that, the work you did for us there. Well, hey, listen, this is our first podcast. We've been working on this project for a good minute. And in fact, I've actually written a book a couple years ago. And I will tell you, for those of you aspiring authors, writing the book is easier than publishing. This has been my experience. We've worked on that thing. And, you know, it's sitting. It will get published someday. Mrs. Peterson keeps pushing me to do that. So that'll happen. But this podcast really is just a another effort on our behalf to help parents. And we have six. Our oldest is 20. Our youngest is 12. So it's 20, 19, 17, soon to be 18. So we have one that's going to be 16 in a couple months. We have a 13-year-old and a 12-year-old. So we've run the gamut on the whole parenting experience. And so let's talk a little bit, before we get into the meat of this, let's talk a little bit about first half parenting. Babe, can you kind of explain to us what is first half parenting, and how do we ever come to, how do we coin that term? What is it? Help us understand first half parenting.
I think, obviously, I think that, you know, in infancy, we went through infancy, and then we went through toddlerhood and the toddler stage, and then we went through elementary. And, you know, everything kind of felt, you know, like you walk through those and it felt the same. It was all, I think it was just like a learning, like we're teaching them how to grow up, how to be good adults, take responsibility. I feel like we took them all the way up to that point. And I feel like then when they hit, I don't know, like they start to know things. I feel like when they hit middle school age, you know, like 11, 12, I mean, it could be different for each child because they grow different, you know. But I think when they hit that point in life, things just like kind of automatically started to change. Like we eased up more because they kind of knew what they were doing because we had taught them. And we left it more, be more of a, let them make some decisions more on their own, and we kind of help to guide them. So I think that's why we said first half parenting was our hands on all the way, you know?
Yeah, that's good. I feel like that's a lot. That's a way more gracious definition than I would typically give it. I feel like our kids, one day, you know, we're cruising along and these wonderful, happy little people. And then we wake up the next day and they're like, a little monster, right? And we're like, what just happened to our kids? And so, phone call coming in, beautiful. So I feel like,
yeah, that's wonderful. That is actually one of our children.
There you go, right there. Oh, now my phone's blowing up too. So, yeah, we're going to turn our phones off. That's beautiful. Hey, that's beautiful, man. All right. So, hey, anyways, first half parenting, that's what we're talking about. We felt like, you know, one day we're cruising along, everything's going great, and then we wake up one morning and everything changed. And at first time it happened, we're like, what just happened? What are we doing wrong? That was the question we began to look at ourselves and say, something is, our child is acting quite differently. Different than any time from infancy. Obviously, they changed from infancy to toddler to elementary. This was a significant change. And our question was, what are we doing wrong? And then it happened again. And then to our, we had another child and it happened to her. And we had another child and it happened to that child. And it happened three or four times, you know, in each one of our children. They hit about this at the end of elementary school, right that point of, right, getting ready to go into middle school, and this significant change happened. And it happened enough times because we have so many kids, we finally realized, oh my gosh, it's not us, It's them. They're moving into a different phase of life. Now, for some of you, you may hear that and be like, well, duh. You know, for us, though, that was kind of an epiphany. And so we...
call ended.
So, hey, listen, just so you know, we're actually sitting in our car recording this podcast because sometimes it's what parents do. We have to take kids places and we just got to make this work. So that's the life of a parent.
Oh, my goodness.
But what we realize is after enough of these crazy transitions, we realize it's not us as parents. It's our kids. They're actually becoming something significantly different. And now that our youngest, Riley, she just turned 12. We've now helped 6 kids transition from the first half into the second half. And so what we realize is that you, and again, some of you may be like, well, duh. But some of you may not understand this, and this is what we're here to help you with. There is a difference in terms of how you parent from the first half to the second half.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
And so we define the first half as that those ages from infancy to the end of elementary school, beginning to transition into middle school, 11, 12, 13, that age.
And those are like when you're like hands-on teaching all right. the time. I mean, they don't really get to make a lot of decisions because you're the one that's teaching them.
A lot more hands-on in the first half, right. And so what we want to do is we want to help parents do the first half well. And as our kids, you know, as they grow, as they're beginning to graduate, some of them are even starting to move out, we look back and say, you know, we're certainly not perfect parents, but we did learn some things. And these things helped us. And I will tell you, we have a sense of urgency about this whole idea of first half parenting because we see so many parents who are absolutely crippled in this first stage. They just are frustrated. They throw their hands up, they're pulling their hair out, they don't know what to do. It's amazing. I'm in the Army and I see men and women who can literally lead hundreds of soldiers, hundreds of killers, and they're great leaders. But then they go home and they're absolutely crippled by a 3-year-old. They don't know how to do it. We see parents in church. We see parents in school. We see parents at Walmart. We see parents all the time incredibly frustrated by this little person. And we've figured some things out. Believe me, babe, there were plenty of moments when we were frustrated as parents too, weren't there?
Yeah.
And yet we learned some things. And we learned them. We've read lots of books. We've studied lots of research on parenting. We've spent hours with parents who've raised kids that were great. And we would sit down and take them out to lunch and buy them a cup of coffee and say, hey, how did you do it? What would you do differently? What would you do again? And we've raised, you know, we've helped 6 kids get through the first half. So we've learned some things. We put them into what we call the baby steps of first half parenting. And that's what we want to share with you. So as we kick off this inaugural episode, you know, like I mentioned earlier, our daughter turned 12 a couple weeks ago. So she is now entering into the second half. So we just were reflecting on the first half of parenting. And we just wanted to wrestle with this question out loud. If we could do some things again, what would we do the same? And what would we change if we could do first half parenting again? Let's talk about something that we would do the same and something that we would change. And then we're going to share a couple resources with you guys and we'll wrap up this episode. Babe, if you could do it all over again, what is something that you would do again the first half?
So you and I were just talking a little bit ago, and I think the broad idea would be to keep a schedule with your kids. I know that, I think it's true even for adults, but I know that when we function on a schedule, we're not surprised. We just kind of go through the rhythm of life and it's a whole lot easier on us. When we get surprised is when we kind of maybe are up in arms or we're like, oh my word. And we just take on this, this craziness, you know, in our life that we don't need to take on. So I think that one of the big things for me as a parent, I feel like, was nap time. I felt like nap time allowed me to be an adult. you know, I could put the kids down, and I knew, and they knew that every day they were going down, and then I could, if I needed to clean the house, I could get the house done. If I needed to start supper, I could, you know, just those little tasks that we need to get accomplished that sometimes having a little one under our feet doesn't allow us to get done. I also think that it allows you to have friends over, you know, like I could take those 2 or 3 hours in the afternoon and have some friends and have some quality adult time. So I felt like it was refreshing to my soul, to not be in toddlerhood all or infancy all day long, either one. It was just better to, I was a better person than throughout my day because I knew that I had some time to read or whatever.
So you did really well at that. Like you created a schedule and we stuck to the schedule. I mean, obviously there are times when you're out and you just can't, but as a matter of practice, we did a great job of sticking to the schedule. And I like what you said. You said like that schedule and particularly nap time, like you put the kids down at nap time and they stayed in their room. All right. So,
well, I think they looked, I mean, honestly though, I feel like if you establish that from infancy and you just, that is your rhythm. They don't even, like, they just know, hey, I mean, and I think as a parent, let's make it fun. Like, hey, let's have our snack before bed, you know, our nap time, and then let's read a story. You know, like, you can make it so that way the kids are, like, are ready, like, to go take a nap. Like, it's not like, oh, my word, I have to go take a nap. And so I didn't really, I mean, for the most part, our kids went right to sleep. I mean, I had some episodes, but not.
And some of them didn't go to sleep as easily as others. And I want to ask you a question in a minute about the difference between an infant and, say, a toddler. But and even elementary kids in the summer, because you did really good on that. You said something about that nap time or that schedule, but particularly the nap time, gave you an opportunity to be an adult. And I think some people absolutely lose their adultness when they have kids. We see it all the time, right? The child becomes the boss,
yes,
in the home,
yes.
And whatever the child wants, even in an infant in 2 and 3 years old, literally the child dictates the schedule. I mean, we've heard lots of people say, hey, I can't come because my kid just won't, my kid's too tired, or my kid is this, or my kid is that. And literally adults lose their adultness, that's even a word, because they've allowed their child to consume their lives and assume control in the home. And I would just say to you as parents, I think that's a mistake. And I think you're losing something significant in your life that your child needs. They need you to be an adult and they need you to be in control. And quite frankly, the only way to maintain that is to create a schedule where you can have periods of time,
yes,
where you're nurturing vitality in your own soul and in your own mind and body.
Yes.
We're going to talk more about that in episodes to come. But okay, so it's easy when your child is an infant, right? You put them down to bed. They need that sleep. But what happens? Let's talk about elementary school, all right? They're in first grade and it's summertime, right? Yeah. You used to do something that was pretty doggone significant during the summer with our kids that ensured that you still had time. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of created also a schedule in the afternoon where from, like, I'm trying to think back, I think it was from, like, 1 to 3, where I told them, like, we would have one, so they could play, you know, morning time, I'd get them up, again, still on a schedule, like, I'd get them up, get them ready, have them play, but at 1 o'clock, I was like, okay, you all have to go to your rooms, like, there's just no exception. But, you know, they didn't have to take a nap at that point when they were school age, but they had to be in their rooms and they had to be quiet and they could not come out. But I left them, you know, they could have, a lot of times I was like, okay, it's time for you to read. It's a good time to read. And sometimes if they read, they knew that they could, you know, play with something very quietly in their room, but it was their room time and I knew where they were, what they were doing. And I could also have that time. So it was still, like, it was like a quiet time in our house. That's what I called it. It's from 1 to 3, it's now quiet time. Because, mind you, I still did have little kids who were taking naps, right?
Right.
But even if I didn't have that, it would still be nap time for them. Or yeah. Quiet time, I'm sorry. Quiet time.
So they would play quietly. They would read. Sometimes if they were younger, they would take a nap. They would watch a movie. It didn't matter so much what they did as that they were, there was a period of quiet in our home.
And they were in a spot where they were not coming out, and I could go do the dishes. I could, they knew. And, you know, if they came out, there was a consequence.
What was the consequence?
Trying to think. I feel like, I think they got stuff maybe taken away, or they had to maybe stay in the room a little longer, or, you know, it was just, there was a consequence, something that they knew, oh, I don't want to do that. I want to stay in my room. So whatever would put that child in a spot where they wanted to obey is what I...
Yeah. And that, so we're going to talk about that later, but one of the things we've learned about discipline is that one size does not fit all.
Yeah.
So discipline was generally molded around that personality type.
Right.
So for, you know, what worked for one may not work for the other. And we recognize that pretty early on and begin to shape our parental instruction around that concept. So that was helpful. Okay, so if you could do it again, you would absolutely build a schedule and keep to that schedule.
Yes.
And with an emphasis, you know, is a great example of that is nap time. So, okay. If looking back, what are some things that if you could do it differently, you would absolutely do it differently? I will speak to this because
I'll ask the question.
All right, you ask the question.
Okay. So what would you do differently if you could?
Well, babe, I think I would choose the hills that we die on more strategically. In other words, I would fight over fewer things. I think that I made a big deal about a lot of things when really I should have made a big deal about very few things. And
that's hard to do.
It's hard to do.
I will say, like, I feel like when you're in the first half parenting, it is a lot about control and teaching. So I feel like, you know, for you, like, you get in that mode of, like, no, you need to do what I'm teaching you. And so when they kind of want to buck the system, you want to keep control, even in things that really don't matter. And that's where I feel like we have to kind of weigh, and where you could weigh that differently, right?
Right. And so here's an example. We had one daughter who refused to wear jeans. Like, she hated jeans, that material, right? And she would only wear, like, stretchy pants, yoga pants. That's the only thing she would wear. And we would literally, like, we fought over the kind of pants that she wore.
And I mean, sometimes she would leave the house crying, or it was, because we wanted her to, you know, not wear something that looked like she was playing at the park.
Right. And I mean, she always looked, you did a great job of always making our kids look cute when they left the house, but that, to me, in hindsight, like, we spent a lot of energy over that fight.
Yeah.
And we spent energy.
Or how a child would do their hair, you know.
Right,
and we were looking back at it now, and it was interesting because I feel like our older kids got, the less we fought with our younger kids on those kinds of things, because we realized it was only a stage.
Right, right.
Like, they were not going to do this forever.
Right.
So, I mean, like, when you're parenting, this is only, like, maybe a year or two, and it's not the rest of their life for the most part. It's a little phase that they go through.
I remember one of our kids went through a phase where she wanted her hair fixed a certain way, and I spent so much energy fighting over that, and now I look back, and I'm like, that was stupid. I should not have fought over that thing so hard.
Yeah.
Because we spent just too much time, too much energy.
It wasn't worth it.
So, just real quick, are there a couple things that, like, give us a couple things that are worth fighting for?
So I am, like, I think character is a big thing. Like, we fight for honesty, integrity. I mean, to me, those things, so I think when you set this up, you look at things later on in life that you want your adults to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, if they want to wear stretchy pants, I mean, truthfully, that probably won't follow them, although I'm way more comfortable in yoga pants to this day anyway, but
I too like yoga pants. Sorry to put that image in your head, but you know,
I feel like, you know, like, honestly, I want another human being who I know is going to be honest with me. That to me is like, I can trust you because you're honest.
Yeah. I think character was a big deal. We identified a handful of values in our family, like courage was a big thing.
Yes. Yeah.
integrity, you know, honesty, just financial stewardship,
yes,
and handling your money well, friend choices. Like, so those are a handful of things that for us, but I would just say to you as a parent, as you're figuring out the first half, hey, most of the things that you're fighting about probably aren't worth the big fight. Just give some thought to the kinds of things that you're giving a lot of energy to, and ask yourself the question: will this matter in, you know, 2, 3, 4 years?
Will this shape them as an adult? Like, right. Is this something that we need to fight over that will shape them as an adult?
And I would say friend choices, yes.
Absolutely.
Stretchy pants, no.
Right.
Unless you have a bad diet, then stretchy pants will. Okay. Anyways.
Nice.
Okay. So hey, listen. So here's for us. We've, you know, at this point in our journey, we've identified a handful of steps. We call them baby steps for first half parents. And hat tip to Dave Ramsey for the baby steps idea. But I think the baby steps concept belongs more naturally to the first half parenting conversation than it does to the money conversation.
Nice.
So we're going to adopt that. I will tell you what they are. Step number one is take care of yourself. Step number two is create a great environment. Step number three is become the teacher. Step number four is get a PhD in your child. Step number five is learn how to discipline. And step number six is call mulligans. If you don't know what that is, get on Google, check it out. And so what we're going to do over the next couple of months is we're going to really dig into each one of these baby steps for first half parents. And we think it'll be a helpful conversation. It's just stuff that, you know, we've read, we've studied, we've discussed from other parents, and we've applied in our home. And it's worked for us with six different personalities. Our children are strong personalities. They're six very different personalities. And this stuff, they're just general principles that have worked well for us. And for people who do them, they have worked. So, so a resource that we want to share with you is an ebook. So all of the book that I've written is ultimately, I've broken it down into ebooks. Someday I'm going to put it all into one book. But there is a resource. It's called Baby Step Number One, Take Care of Yourself. And we want to share that with you. It's just some ideas that you can apply as a parent in the first half of your child's life, and we think will be helpful for you. So, all right, babe. And we'll have that. We'll share that resource on our Facebook page. You can also go to our website, www.firsthalfparenting.com. And you can find all kinds of information there. We're also, in addition to resources, we've got a YouTube channel. And basically what we're going to use that for is that sometimes we're riding down the road and we begin to have these conversations. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this would be so helpful. And so we're just going to grab our phone. We're going to record that conversation. And we'll throw it up on the YouTube channel. All right? Just be little helpful snippets of conversations that we were having, things that we're learning, things we're discussing, and we encourage you to be a part of the conversation. Hey, if you haven't checked us out, you can check us out on Instagram. We're at First Half Parenting. Check us out on Facebook at First Half Parenting, and reach out to us on there. We really like to hear you. In the future, we're going to start our podcast off by answering a couple of questions. So please feel free to ask any questions you have, and we'll do our best to answer those and give you some helpful resources along the way. And if you have questions that you're not comfortable posting on social media, you can always shoot us a note, an email. It's paul@firsthalfparenting.com. paul@firsthalfparenting.com. And believe it or not, Sherry reads those emails too. So probably the best answers will come from the one whose name is not on the email. So, babe, is there anything you want to say today as we get ready to sign off of our first ever First Half Parenting podcast?
Oh, I'm excited to do this, and I hope that our journey can be helpful to lots and lots of parents. You know, I think I loved parenting. I mean, I really, really enjoyed my kids, spending time with them, just watching them grow up. I would not trade that for anything, and I want other parents to experience the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So to wrap it up real quick, if we could do it again, we would definitely build a schedule and stick to the schedule. And for you parents of young kids, include a nap in that schedule. Include quiet time in that schedule. The second thing, we would not fight over so many of the things we fought over. We'd let more stuff go. We'd fight over a handful of things. We'd fight hard for that, but we'd let more stuff go.
Yeah.
And the third thing we would do is, we're going to start this conversation in our next podcast, is we would really pay attention to just some personal care. Because I'm telling you, dad, mom, the best gift you can give to your child is not a new toy. The best gift you can give to your child is a good, healthy you. All right? So that's what we got. Hey, guys, thanks for joining us. If this podcast is helpful, please share it on your social media. And we will see you next time.
Bye.
You're listening to the First Half Parenting Podcast, hosted by Paul and Sherry Peterson.